Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. On the show today, we have CUNA's Jim Nussle talking Tila Respa, rock stars, and the NFL. So check it out. We have a few items to talk about today. You guys are a busy, busy organization right now.
Understandably, all good things, though. All good. I mean, that's the fun part about it is that in our business, we're, you know, representing, supporting credit unions. Every day is a good day, and every day is a busy day.
Exactly. It's fun. It's fun. All right. Well, let's talk about this first question I have. Just, I'm kind of like, I always look for the kind of like the odd news every now and then, and this one really kind of piqued my interest a few weeks ago when I saw this, and I said, yeah. There was this deal with the banks comparing the NFL tax status to that of the credit unions. And I was like, I was just scratching my head, what? And then you had a response to it. But I was just love to hear what you had to say about this. So, or at least our viewers would love to hear about this too. I found it quite interesting.
You know, the goofy thing about it is, and I give them credit. They have been consistent in their drumbeat. Attacking credit unions. I mean, there's been no question about that. And usually they're fairly effective when they do it. I mean, they have been for quite some time. It's the reason why we continue to promote our not-for-profit tax status with members of Congress, because we're very concerned, not only here in Washington, but across the country, that the bankers are after that. They're afraid of their market. They've seen a lot of that shrinking. They see credit unions delivering a better service. And so it's not surprising that they attack you. But when they go like in this goofy direction, you think, wait a minute, they have somebody new over there, because this was so out of left field.
I was thinking the same thing.
I don't even think it was in the field. It was so goofy.
It was out in the parking lot.
Yeah, I mean, because it was the NFL, maybe you say the end zone as opposed to left field. But regardless, it was goofy. They were trying to basically equate or conflate both of our tax status with the NFL. I mean, we're member-owned. We're member-driven. We're not-for-profit. All of the things that and we have a charter from Congress for a specific service for an underserved part of a very important industry of financial services. So it's not even comparing apples to oranges. It's like apples to like a pickup truck.
Hey, there you go.
It's goofy. So at any rate, yeah, we hit it pretty hard, and sometimes ridicule is the best medicine for something like that, because it was goofy.
Yeah, indeed. It certainly made some headlines and kind of piqued a few people's interest, that's for sure. But I'm glad you had a great response to it, as always. Hey, let's switch gears a little bit here. What's your take on the CFPB's recent grace period with the Tila Respa integrated disclosure rule, pushing it back to October 3rd? What's your take on that?
Well, and it's an important grace period. We've been working with the CFPB very aggressively. We're the ones that actually discovered this discrepancy in the original proposal, specifically for small entity in their compliance guide. And we've raised that with them. We're the ones that have been trying to be advocates to get this grace period extended. Mm-hmm. All of these things kind of came to a head, and we're very pleased that they have been extending that now until the end of the year. And we think that helps protect credit unions and gives them some a period of time of a safe harbor. Certainly, we'll continue to be an advocate through the end of the year and beyond if we need to. But the challenge that we saw in all of this is that it was affecting probably more credit unions than I think people expected.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I mean, I think the initial reaction was that there weren't many that were affected, and we think this may affect as many as 700 credit unions, many of which you originally didn't even know that they had any compliance concerns with this at all. So our compliance folks jumped in, our advocacy folks jumped in. We worked hard to not only sound the alarm, but also to get that extended. And All of that is important. So we want to extend this through the end of the year and extend that grace period, that safe harbor, for as long as we can.
Excellent. And switching gears once again here, being a former marketer here, this topic kind of interests me a little bit. What's up with the possible CUNA name change? I saw this in the news a month or so ago, and I don't know if anything has come of it or anything like that, but just went, wow, I mean, because Cuna, I mean, you guys have a pretty darn good brand right now. And I'm thinking to myself, why would they ever change that? But I'm sure there's good reason behind it, or if it's even has any legs. Who knows?
Well, so here's the funny thing. And Mike, you know this. I mean, so in Denver next month,
we're
going to be at the what? It's called, people refer to it as the ACUC, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what that is?
That's America's Credit Union Conference.
Exactly. So when the news came out that we're somehow starting to use America's Credit Union as a name change, I mean, we've already been using America's Credit Union, that branding,
for quite
some time.
Yeah.
We do business under it often. We do this conference under that banner. I think the issue that the task force, which is the entity that was kind of thinking about this, is they were trying to decide whether or not this was a better brand for all of us to be under. And I don't know what they're going to end up recommending.
Okay.
We already use America's Credit Union, both the logo and the branding. And I can tell you that when we go to Capitol Hill or when we talk to regulators, we walk in the front door and I don't say, I'm Jim Nussel from CUNA. I say, I'm Jim Nussel representing America's Credit Unions. That's what I say.
I love
it. And the reason is very simple. Because most of these policymakers don't have, you know, a chart in front of them for all the different acronyms that everybody throws around, right?
Yeah.
So we use that, I think, just naturally. And most of our credit unions, when they come in, they say, we represent the members of our credit union. Mm-hmm. I think there's kind of a natural tendency to use that as a moniker, as an umbrella.
I get it.
So we're going to continue to use it and have been for some time.
Okay, yeah, I just want to kind of get the story behind the story on that one. So it was very kind of interesting to me. I'm sure a lot of other people were like, what?
Yeah, well, what was interesting to me is why it was new. I mean, I didn't understand why it was new because we've been using it for so long. So it was really kind of a strange thing for, but sometimes I think the simplest things is what people grab onto, and it's much more complicated than that as we talked about.
Indeed. Thank you for clearing that up. I see the logic behind it now. And also, something that is foremost on your website right now is your member activation program. And really, this one kind of piqued my interest as well. Can you tell me a little bit about this? And for folks out there who may not have heard about it yet.
You bet. Well, I mean, for quite some time, as we're proud of, the CUNA League system has been the predominant voice when it comes to credit unions and advocacy in particular.
Yes.
And so we've learned, though, that there is a change that I certainly have brought to the industry and to CUNA and the leagues, that in addition to the typical advocacy efforts of 6,400 credit unions in representing typically 6,400 credit union CEOs, and there are about 80,000 board members, and there are 250,000 employees, that we have an opportunity to unleash a force that is similar to, let's say, the AARP, that has 60 million voices speaking for them when the AARP is doing advocacy in Washington.
Right.
Well, we have 100 million. We have 100 million voices across the country who have accounts with our various credit unions.
Right.
And if we could engage those members and activate them in the efforts of advocacy, we would be a much more powerful voice. So different than some that hire lobbyists or, it's not that they're not good at advocacy, but advocacy is changing. And members of Congress, I can tell you, policymakers and regulators, they listen to the voices of the people.
Mm-hmm.
Those numbers matter. And that's why we're activating our members. And we're over 1 million already that we've activated, and over 100 credit unions that are specifically messaging to their credit union members now. And I think as a result, this is only going to grow exponentially.
That's beautiful. And I think we've spoken in the past about having a consistent message out there as well, not just kind of like the one time a year or the two time a year at the GAC or something.
Yep.
It's got to be like a monthly, a weekly type of thing to keep the name in front of them, because they have so many other issues going on.
That's
right. So
so they can't just come to Washington and hike the hill.
Right.
That's good. Don't get me wrong.
I agree.
But you got to go hike your neighborhood.
Exactly.
You got to go hike you got to go hike them when they're home.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got to invite them to your credit union, and you have to go to their town meetings, and you have to invite them to your community projects that and you have to tell your story. I mean, I keep telling, it's interesting. I think there's this belief when people get involved in advocacy that they've got to know all the technicalities, and they have to you know, what are the talking points when I go talk to this congressman? We were just with Senator Shelby, as an example, who's the chair of the banking committee in the Senate. And I can tell you, we weren't talking about talking points. There was a credit union CEO there who happens to be the chair in Alabama. And he didn't come up talking about talking points. He told his story of his credit union and the challenges he's having with regulatory burden. It wasn't about talking points. Right. It was about connecting with the policymakers. And that's the best way to do the advocacy story, not only in Washington, but at home as well.
Yeah, there's authenticity in that. You know, it's a very genuine message. Well,
and they're going to remember the story. Trust me, I was just with Elizabeth Warren. The first thing she did when I walked in is she told me a story about her niece getting help from a credit union. She didn't talk about, you know, you'd think a lot of my folks, members would say, well, did you talk about the CFPB? Yes, we got around to that.
Sure. But
the first story she told was a story about how her niece was helped by a credit union. That's the story she remembers. That's important to me. So that's why telling our stories to these guys, folks, wherever they are, is very important.
Yeah, and that's the type of story that sticks, too, because, I mean, you obviously remembered it off the top of your head, so why wouldn't your representative? My gosh.
Exactly.
No brainer. Exactly. All right, let's get to another topic here. CUNA Rockstars program. I love this. What's the status? What's going on here?
Well, so once a year, we try and get nominations from across the country for 15 people that we want to highlight as the rock stars of the industry, of the movement, people that have gone above and beyond the call of duty. And so in our magazine, we highlight them. In fact, we use the front cover, and we also use throughout the magazine an opportunity to tell the different stories. Again, storytelling, it's important, of how they're making a difference in the lives of their members, their communities, their credit unions. And so we're looking forward to getting the nominations. And I believe the nominations, we want to get them in. If people are thinking about somebody they think is a rock star, if you could get that nomination in by July 15th, I think is the deadline. Yep. That's what we're working towards. Mm-hmm. So,
and that's coming. Then that segues to my next question, sir. Here, the ACUC, WOCC, your big conference in Denver. My goodness, that's coming up July 11th through the 15th. So, how's planning going on with that? I just saw somebody tweeted. I think Brian Branch tweeted a photo of them meeting this morning on getting the final plans going. So, how's it going?
Yeah, Brian and I held a joint meeting with our staffs to talk about, you know, the final. It's actually the final meeting before we turn on the jets and get everything going. And we're very excited. This is going to be a record-breaking conference. We have more than 3,000 attendees. We have more countries represented than ever.
Awesome.
Brian and his team at the World Council have just done a bang-up job, and I hope we've helped too a little bit along the way. And by combining our two entities and to do this together has just been tremendous. So we're looking forward to seeing so many people. Hopefully a few watching here are going to come out to Denver and not only share the stories about why credit unions are making a difference in the United States, but across the world. I mean, you hear the stories of how credit unions are helping development in Africa, and you know the poverty, the need that is there, where people are developing whole new economies, whole new communities, and what they're doing is they're discovering that the credit union principles and the cooperative principles that are so basic, you know, that we kind of take for granted are making a difference in the lives of real people and helping them develop their countries, their communities, their families, businesses, their economies. And that's just one maybe small example, but there are many like that that we're going to celebrate as part of talking about a credit union movement here and across the globe. So,
yeah, I've heard nothing but good things about this. This is what, your second or third year doing this when you combine with the World Council of Credit Unions? Or
I think this is the third time we've done it. So we don't do it every year.
Right.
So I think we try and do it, if I'm not mistaken, every third year, fourth year, we try and combine them. And but we're really excited about how this is turning out. And I know if you're interested not only in networking with each other, people that, you know, are in the credit union movement here in the United States, it gets your juices flowing when you hear how you know, the credit union difference is really making a difference across the world. So
yeah, it's pretty cool. So yeah, I heard nothing but what great stories about this joint effort you guys are doing. So keep up the good work. Well, and
this is,
good luck.
This is my first one, so I mean, I'll probably know a lot more about. I'm excited about it, but most of it is from what people keep telling me. Oh, this is going to happen. That's going to happen. You know, and Denver's a great city, and
I'm really
excited to have a chance to do this together.
Indeed. So, yeah. Great message to end on. Just thank you so much, Jim, for taking time out of your busy schedule. And again, you know, keep up the good work there in Washington and keep fighting the good fight. And I'm sure the conference coming up in Denver is going to be a smash hit once again. So well done, sir.
Great to be with you. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome.